got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that loves undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes? I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love, undivided. Oh yeah, undivided.
Welcome back.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, June 23rd, 2022. We need to get to the issue of we need to finish the deception and get to the issue of guns. And I want to raise the point of clarification. So there's the quote, the paraphrase quote from George Mason to begin today's broadcast. To disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave them. The broader quote from his one of his addresses to the Virginia Ratifying Convention in 1788. He said, "No man has a greater regard for the military gentlemen than I have. I admire their intrepidity, perseverance, and valor. But when once a standing army is established in any country, the people lose their liberty. When against a regular and disciplined army, yeomanry are the only defense, yeomanry unskilled and unarmed, what chances is there for preserving freedom? Give me leave to recur to the page of history to warn you of your present danger. Recollect the history of most nations of the world. What havoc, desolation, and destruction have been perpetrated by standing armies. Do you realize, America, that the highest levels of special forces have been training for urban warfare for quite some time now? Asymmetric warfare. You know, I talked years ago about the 21st Century Army Project, Army 21 and Army After Next, and the paring down of military forces really into kind of, the general military as a recruitment bed for, special forces type stuff, the Praetorian Guard, essentially. And these guys, more recently have been training in urban stuff and also domestic stuff. Now it's becoming more obvious. Anyway, continuing with George Mason's speech, he says, "An instance within the memory of some of this house will show us how our militia may be destroyed. 40 years ago, when the resolution of enslaving America was formed in Great Britain, the British Parliament was advised by an artful man, Sir William Keith, who was governor of Pennsylvania, to disarm the people, that it was the best and most effectual way to enslave them, but that they should not do it openly, but to weaken them and let them sink gradually by totally diffusing and neglecting the militia." And parenthetically here, Mr. Mason quoted sundry passages to this effect. Continuing, "This was a most iniquitous project. Why should we not provide against the danger of having our militia, our real and natural strength, destroyed? Or co-opted and conscripted to the standing military, because that is what the National Guard is today. I'm sorry, America, if that offends you, but that's the truth. Go to Wikipedia, which is not the authority of all things, obviously. I'm saying that only because it's the pedestrian version of history. And even Wikipedia says the National Guard is a joint activity of the United States Department of Defense, which doesn't defend anything. It offends. You know, this was part of what was originally called, after the passage of the 1947 National Security Act, it was referred to as the National Military Establishment. The initials are NME, enemy. And I think that's telling. So the National Guard is a joint activity of the United States Department of Defense, composed of reserve components of the United States Army and the United States Air Force. And the Air Force, again, sorry to offend, but you know, I would say it's kind of the tip of the spear of the administrative enforcement arm, you know, the nexus of administrative fourth branch and military. Yeah, the Air Force is uniquely that, because obviously in the founding era there was no Air Force, of course, you know, because Orville and Wilbur had not been born yet. And so the Air Force was codified in the days, you know, following the institutionalizing and codifying of the administrative fourth branch. So the National Guard is a now, you know, which is in the, you know, pursuant to the Militia Act of 1903, which created the National Guard of, you know, after 1903. Now the National Guard has been moved under, you know, it's a joint activity of the DOD, composed of reserve components of United States Army and United States Air Force, Army National Guard and Air National Guard, respectively. And so, you know, what could possibly go wrong? That's called continuity of government in simple terms. You know, you listen to the guys who over the years have been old school bad guys who've been honest enough to say, well, you know, we're going to leave. Who am I thinking of? Is it Kissinger? The one most infamous, can't think of who it was. But, you know, many have echoed the same sentiment of, we're going to leave. I think it was Huxley, actually. It's Aldous Huxley that I'm thinking of. You know, the slogans and things is the way that he put it. And I wonder if I could find that real fast. So, the way, I'm sure it was Huxley. But to paraphrase, you know, he said, we're going to leave the slogans and things in place. Other guys have said it differently. We're going to leave the states and countries in place, but superimpose over that this control grid that eventually will come out into plain view. We're seeing it. You know, it's these groups, bodies like the United Nations, World Health Organization, World Trade Organization, IMF, BIS, that kind of stuff, superimposed. We're going to, you know, the UN's going to end all war, but first there's going to be a great, you know, calamity, the likes of which the world has never seen, in the fashion precisely as Pike intimated in his most prophetic letter never written to Mazzini, intimated, you know, that Third World War, that in particular. First we'll see that, and all these problems everywhere, because that's what you do, you know, in a dialectical conflict model, you introduce all these conflicts. Anyway, hopefully that makes sense. I mean, that's the heart of the controversy. For the money, it's the Federal Reserve. For the guns, it's the Militia Act of 1903. And we have been derelict in our duty. And George Mason told us, you know, and quoting Sir William Keith, you know, the best and most effectual way to enslave the people is to disarm them. But that should not, you know, should not happen openly. Weaken them and let them sink gradually by totally defusing and neglecting the militia. We've done that for 100 years, America, left it to the charge of sinister and nefarious forces that have basically consolidated an elite Praetorian Guard. And George Mason told us, when against a regular and disciplined army, you know, when against, you know, these guys, yeomanry are the only defense, yeomanry unskilled and unarmed, what chance is there for preserving freedom? Hopefully that makes sense. Let's go to the phones. Where are we? Scott in Nevada, is that where we are?
Well, I'm here, Chris. I hear
you.
Morning,
Scott.
Hey, good. Yeah, you know, you caught my attention just before the top of the hour when you said the Second Amendment says nothing about self-defense. There was a case in the Ninth Circuit, San Francisco, the Nordyke case, and this couple had been running a gun show at Alameda County Fairgrounds forever, like decades. And the Board of Supervisors...
What was the case again, please?
Nordyke. N-O-R-D-Y-K-E. The Nordyke case.
Right.
And, okay, they had been running a gun show. Board of Supervisors said no guns on county property. They sued and said violation of Second Amendment. They got dismissed at the lower level, the U.S. District Court.
Yeah.
They appeal. It goes to the Ninth Circuit, San Francisco. And the opinion was... three-judge panel, this is not a Second Amendment case. Your problem is with the Board of Supervisors. Your remedy is to elect a new Board of Supervisors. And then without saying it, what they meant to say was good luck with that, with all the commies in the Bay Area.
Right.
But I really like the way they handled it. They said, however, since you brought up the Second Amendment, we will address that now. The purpose of the Second Amendment is threefold: self-defense, resisting government tyranny, and repelling foreign invasion. And that's the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So, yeah, anyway, okay, Chris, I'll continue with the show here.
So one more time. Yeah. The purpose of the Second Amendment, according to the Ninth Circuit, is what? Threefold. It is what?
Yeah, I love the way they put it. So it's self-defense, enabling the American people to resist government tyranny and repelling foreign invasions.
Yeah.
So, it makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what I thought I signed up for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, good.
Appreciate it, Scott. Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
And hopefully this is making sense. You know, the reason... I mean, you can understand, without getting into all of the details, if the fox is in the hen house, the fox is going to tell you about everything, you know, that might be causing problems. It's so absurd, but we're seeing it with the Biden administration, for example. You know, Joe Biden campaigned on destroying the oil and natural gas industry. He campaigned on it. He said, I mean, the clips have been played ad nauseum all over the place. Many people have spoken to that. You know, you don't have to look far. The quotes, the numerous quotes of Joe Biden saying, yes, we're going to end all of this. They're everywhere within arm's reach. And then for the rising gas prices to be blamed exclusively on, you know, things like Putin's war in Ukraine, which is a disingenuous talking point to begin with, is absurd. And as many folks have pointed out, Jerome Powell even said inflation was you know, doing what inflation does before the Putin-Ukraine thing. So that's a disingenuous talking point. And I think we should follow up and say, Jerome Powell, how is inflation caused? Tell us in simple terms so that the layman can understand, how is inflation caused? But the Fox won't tell you, you know, how the sausage is made, to mix metaphors, because that would implicate the Fox. And so don't rely on the Federal Reserve to tell you about how inflation is caused, and don't rely on captured agents that we refer to as congressmen and senators to tell you why they can't simply speak to the orthodoxy of the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia, capital M, being necessary to the security of a free state, capital S, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You know, it doesn't speak to hunting. So why is that always mentioned? Well, again, because as Andrew Wallace pointed out in his article Under the Color of Law, effectively, the Militia Act of 1903 abolished the militia, the orthodoxy of the militia, and created this this subsidiary of the, I mean, it's literally now a subsidiary of the Defense Department. What separation is there? What firewall is there between, does that make sense? I mean, some people will say, well, no, it makes sense that we would do that, that the National Guard would be a part of the National Military. I mean, just consider the name, National Guard. Is a state-based military force. Wait, isn't it the National Guard? It's part of the Army and the Air Force when activated for federal missions. I mean, if there's a disagreement between the state and the federal, who's in charge? Many, many, many people have spoken to the colloquialism, the cliche, that the Second Amendment is there to enforce the First. So when there's a disagreement along the lines of the First, how do you enforce, you know, where are the teeth? And like I said, George Mason spelled it out very articulately. Folks, paraphrase his statement, you know, to disarm the people was the best and most effectual way to enslave them. But as I pointed out, he said much more than that. And he was very articulate. And again, this is not a he was not alone in expressing these sentiments. You had guys like, you know, Madison, who is generally considered to be the father of the Constitution, saying the same thing. So, you know, who are the militia? During the same convention, George Mason answered that question too. Mr. Chairman, a worthy member has asked, who are the militia if they are not the people of this country? And if we are not to be protected from the fate of the Germans, Prussians, etc. by our presentation, I ask, who are the militia? They consist now of the whole people, except for a few public officers, but I cannot say who will be the militia of the future day. There's more. I'll finish that when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. It's an interesting and provocative point that Mason made after you know, I cannot say who the militia of the future day will be. He said, you know, if this Constitution gets no alteration, if that paper on the table gets no alteration, the militia of the future day may not consist of all classes, high and low, rich and poor, but may be confined to the lower and middle classes of people, of the people, granting exclusion to the higher classes of people. If we should ever see that day, the most ignominious punishments and heavy fines may be expected. Under the present government, all ranks of people are subject to militia duty. And, you know, there's more to say about this. I mean, same conversation, Virginia ratifying convention. Mason says, George Mason says, does any man suppose that one general national government can exist in so extensive a country as this? I hope that a government may be framed which may suit us by drawing a line between the general and state governments and prevent that dangerous clash of interest and power, which must, as it now stands, terminate in the destruction of one or the other. When we come to the judiciary, we shall be more convinced that this government will terminate in the annihilation of the state governments. The question then will be whether a consolidated government can preserve the freedom and secure the rights of the people. And we see the tenuous relationship now and the consolidation effort continuing. And it's under the surreptitious specious guise of crisis and emergency all the time, precisely as we've been warned throughout history. It's a maxim of history, guys like Madison said, every time there's a crisis. And again, as someone wisely observed, if they can do sweeping things during times of emergency, then they'll find emergencies to do sweeping things. And by find, I mean, you know, lie hop, high hop, my hop, you know, let it happen on purpose, help it happen on purpose, or if you have to, make it happen on purpose, in plausibly deniable enough fashion, of course. And that's what we have going on. It's undeniable that our state sanctioned elements, you know, the alphabet soups, for example, are involved in strategy of tension episodes. That's a proven, established, irrefutable, indisputable fact. And, you know, I went through, speaking of the communitarian bent, there was a period I went through talking about these organizations. You know, we hear a lot about things like the first responders. Oh, it sounds so good. You know, you use these things to do bad things under some sort of specious guise. You know, I mentioned Adrian Perkins as an example in his appearance. You know, Shreveport Mayor Adrian Perkins, obviously a patriot, graduate of West Point, Harvard Law School, you know, Army veteran. Obviously a patriot, but I would say beguiled and misled. And we played the clip of Walter E. Williams saying, speaking of Madison, you know, I cannot lay my finger upon that, you know, basically that justification for charity. Cannot undertake to lay my finger on that article in the Constitution that authorizes Congress to spend the money of their constituents for the purposes of benevolence and charity. You know, so what's the point? Well, the point is when the thing becomes institutionalized, then it has to justify its existence. So the hammer has to find some nails. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon
are very informative. Here's just a few. Kerry, great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Biden continues to push for more gun laws. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Last night, President Biden addressed the nation to push Congress for more gun control laws. He said, "For God's sake, how much more carnage are we willing to accept?" And he said, "Do something." Can't believe I'm about to say this, but I agree with Biden. We should do something. We should prosecute criminals and keep them in jail for their entire sentence. We should have armed police or security at all schools. We should enforce the gun laws already on the books. For example, prosecute people who lie on the FBI background check form. We should do everything we can to get more good guys with guns out visible in the public. We should fund our law enforcement and teach children to respect them again. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pacem, Parabellum.
We were cautioned expressly against doing what we've allowed, or allowing what we've allowed to happen. This idea of separation of powers was a central tenet. There is a strong argument as we are led into the nanny state environment, and Stockholm syndrome starts to take over, and you hope that your kidnapper will be kind. I think that sort of lends itself to a sense of learned helplessness as well. And it's high time that the American people take responsibility for themselves, and that we all start to take responsibility for ourselves and not allow ourselves to be sucked into the vortex of the democratic socialist mindset where we think some benevolent nanny state is going to take care of us. It's just not the case. It's never the case in history. Guys like Walter Williams know better. And it's patently un-American, if nothing else. If you want that, there are plenty of places where, you know, we hear, well, it works there, it works there. Great, go there. What are you waiting for? It's patently un-American. And if we just return to the orthodoxy of the Constitution, it's not perfect. There are a lot of things that people will say are, you know, that it might leave to be desired. But it's, you know, I would say far better than what we're seeing now. Now it's a very tenuous situation, perilous, I would say. This consolidation of powers in, you know, so the three things I've been asked from time to time, you know, in a perfect world, what would you do? I probably abolish the Militia Act of 1903, probably abolish... maybe four things: the Administrative Procedure Act of 1946 and the National Security Act of 1947, and then the Federal Reserve Act, and probably the IRS along with it. Oh my gosh, how will we run the country? Well, Walter Williams knows better. I got three clips from this video you can find on YouTube, Walter Williams, Why the Founders Did Not Want a Democracy. So we've played some clips from this recently, but here is here's the first one. Go ahead, please.
Sir Williams, has the Tea Party movement been a positive in your view in American politics?
Well, I think so. It has been it's been a movement, or it's been a group of people who are saying, well, look, let's go back to the Constitution. Let's have constitutional principles. But whether they'll be successful or not is another matter. And keep in mind that, you know, if you look at the founders of our nation, they wanted very, very limited government. If you read in Madison's Federalist Paper, I think it's 45 or 48, and when he was trying to describe to the citizens of New York what was in the Constitution to kind of get the citizens of New York to ratify the Constitution, he said that the powers that we delegated to the federal government are few and well-defined and restricted mostly to external affairs. Those left with the people and the states are indefinite and numerous. Now, if you turn that upside down, you'd have what we have today. That is, the powers of the federal government are indefinite and numerous, and those of the people in the state are limited and well-defined.
There you go. So that's, again, you know, we have a perception problem. This gets back to the deception that I was talking about, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the strong delusion. Paul says, you know, just to finish that out, Paul says, let no one in any way deceive you, for the day of the Lord will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness or perdition, the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction or the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. And so you can see this shaping up on the world stage, you know, with these systems that are coalescing. It's every time that it's too soon and the people are not ready to accept their, you know, benevolent so-called dictator, then we have what Richard N. Gardner said in The Hard Road to World Order back in 1974, where it's a, you know, to quote William James, it will be a great booming, buzzing confusion. So they create this proliferation of bureaus and agencies, as Reagan put it, and then they consolidate them later, you know, proliferate, consolidate. And it's all in an effort to eventually whittle them down to this one thing that I think coincides with what you see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So continuing, It says, do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things, and you know what restrains him now? What restrains him now? And so this character is always waiting in the wings. This is always waiting. You know, what restrains him now so that in this time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one, you know, if you want to accelerate this process, don't you increase lawlessness, which seems to correspond to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, for example. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth. That's powerful. And will bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. Sounds like somebody like Yuval Noah Harari speaking. You know, with all power and signs and false wonders. Just great blasphemies. And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because, why did they perish? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. And that seems to hearken back to Genesis 6:5, you know, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. They took pleasure in wickedness. Are we approaching that moment in a Machiavellian or a Nietzschean sort of sense, in America in particular? You can see it, where people are starting to take pleasure in wickedness, generally, like open pleasure. And, you know, you can argue the, you know, folks emulating leadership. And this, you know, I think that gets back to guys like Bill Gates, but not just him. You know, his duper's delight every time he talks about millions of people dying. Why does he always laugh when he talks about death? Every single time, without exception. Every single time. Why? Who does that? Who is giddy about large numbers of people dying? Bill Gates is. What's wrong with him? So speaking of emulating leadership, you know, I mentioned when it was originally published, Matthew Cole's article series over at the Intercept, the Crimes of SEAL Team 6, and his interview with what's her name? Amy Goodman over at Democracy Now. He did a couple of interviews with her. And, you know, so if you dig into the story that Matthew Cole told back in 2017, you know, after a couple of years of investigation, it's a poisoned leadership, basically, that is at issue. It's a toxic ideological bent at the highest levels of leadership. And then when you start to think about that, I mean, you're talking about, you know, Joint Chiefs, JSOC, command type folks. And just think about what that means. You know, if there is no conscience, if this effort is entirely Nietzschean and devoid of conscience, then what are the implications? What are the broader implications, especially when we start talking about the training for domestic operations, quelling civil unrest, and, you know, all of the technology? I mean, we talked about some of that recently, the technology that's been developed and deployed in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. I have said many times, you know, the quintessential thing that every American needs to read before sending Junior off to boot camp is RL33627, the Congressional Research Service report titled NATO and Afghanistan, a test of the Transatlantic Alliance, the October 23rd, 2008 update in particular, which spells it out in simple terms. The summary says the mission of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, in Afghanistan is a test of the alliance's political will and military capabilities. You hear that turn of phrase used quite often. I mentioned that when, what's his name? Outgoing defense secretary. Which one was it who used that turn of phrase? Anyway, you hear it often. It's a test of the alliance's political will and military capabilities. It's a sort of esoteric phrase in a certain sense. But since September 11, 2001, the Allies have sought to create a new NATO, able to go beyond the European theater to combat new threats, such as terrorism and the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. So you mean the kind of terrorism that we're inflicting or training others to inflict? And proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. You mean the ones that we never seem to find unless they're placed? Remember, Joe Wilson didn't find any yellow cake, so. Afghanistan is NATO's first out-of-area mission beyond Europe. The purpose of the mission is the stabilization and reconstruction of Afghanistan. Wait, who destabilized and deconstructed it in the first place? Who created the Afghan Mujahideen via Operation Cyclone? You know, was bin Laden a known CIA asset? Where did he get the hundreds of millions of dollars that Robin Wright wrote about in her 1998 LA Times article? The purpose of the mission is the stabilization and reconstruction of Afghanistan. Mission is a difficult one because it must take place while combat operations against the Taliban insurgents continue. Again, who created the Taliban? Recent assessments of the current situation in Afghanistan point to a rise in the overall level of violence due to increased Taliban military activity and an increase in terrorist-related activities, including suicide bombings. So remember Anand Gopal's book? I've talked about that a number of times. And, you know, No Good Men for the Living. When, you know, the Taliban tried to surrender and DOD said no thanks. Ryan Grimm wrote an article over at The Intercept about that. The Taliban tried to surrender and the U.S. rebuffed them. Now here we are. You know, we created the enemy in Machiavellian sort of fashion, The Prince Chapter 20, and we keep propping this, you know, invisible boogeyman up. Why? Why would we do that? I ask rhetorically. So, until we're honest about these things, we are going to have problems. And now we're to the point where it seems it's becoming obvious that we are infected with this sickness of taking pleasure in wickedness, in Nietzschean fashion, you might say. Patently godless Nietzschean sort of fashion. So, we might not have time for all of this, but I wonder if we can maybe squeeze in the rest. Walter E. Williams. Is it possible? Can we do the next one? The next little clip, please.
In your book, Liberty Versus the Tyranny of Socialism, you quote Tom Paine, "Government, even in its best state, is but a necessary evil in its worst state and intolerable."
That is absolutely right. And I think that we Americans should recognize that the history of mankind has been that of arbitrary abuse and control by others. The founders were not perfect, but they tried to move us away from that. And the main enemy of mankind throughout its history has been government. That is, if you look at the 20th century, it's the most brutal century in the history of mankind. I think that something like 60 million people lost their lives in wartime, but that pales in comparison to the number of people who were murdered by their own government. And the number comes up to somewhere close to 100 million people are murdered by their own government. And matter of fact, these statistics are documented in a book called Death by Government. And so it shows that it's a strong argument that that government is the enemy of mankind. The matter of fact, the framers of our Constitution recognized that. Just look at the language of the Bill of Rights. It says things like, Congress shall not abridge, Congress shall not prohibit, Congress shall not disparage, Congress shall not infringe. Now, if the framers did not think that Congress would do these things, why in the world would they put them in? Why would they put that down in the Constitution? And I've suggested to people that when we die, and if at our next destination we see anything like a Bill of Rights, we know that we're in hell. Because a Bill of Rights in heaven would be an affront to God. It would be saying, well, we can't trust God, you know? And so the framers recognized that the enemy of mankind was government, but they recognized that we do need some government. And as Thomas Paine was pointing out, that the government government is under the best of conditions of the necessary evil. And matter of fact, the whole Second Amendment argument about guns, the right to keep and bear arms, most Americans think that the framers gave us the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, wanted to protect our right to keep and bear arms. They think that it was for deer and duck hunting. But the framers actually come out and say to allow Americans to have some kind of defense against abuse of government. And people like Hamilton said things like to allow the American people to protect themselves against their representatives if they are betrayed by their representatives. And who in the world are their representatives? It's the United States Congress. So I think that the framers held a great distrust for government, that Americans today, I think we love government. That is, the average American loves government. And the reason why the average American loves government is because government can do those things for them that if they did the same thing privately, they would go to jail. That is, government can take my money and give it to you, but if you came up to me with a gun and took my money, you would go to jail. But if you go to Congress and ask them, would you take William's money and give it to me? Well, you know, you don't go to jail, but you have my money.
I think that's wonderful. Man, the practical wisdom of Walter E. Williams. So Jefferson said it in his first inaugural address back in 1801. Sometimes it's said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself, and that's what we've been led to believe, or that government, you know, the administration of government is just too busy and, you know, for us to apprehend and to be able to accomplish. We should leave that to the experts. But that conversation keeps getting centralized and consolidated and bumped upstairs, so to speak, as you look at the folks like what's his name? Technocracy in America guy. Parag Khanna, Technocracy in America, Rise of the Info State. So Jefferson said, sometimes it's said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Or angels in the forms of technocrats, Neoplatonic technocrats? Let history answer this question. All right, final excerpt from Walter E. Williams. Go ahead, please.
I have a very low tolerance for the TSA people. I think this was a number of years ago. But one time I was traveling, and I had carry-on luggage, and in my carry-on luggage I had an eyeglass repair kit. And this TSA person told me I could take the screws, but I could not take the screwdriver. And I said, that's stupid as hell. I said, who ever heard of somebody hijacking an airplane with an eyeglass screwdriver? And so he said, wait here. And so his superintendent came up, and the superintendent asked me, and I repeated myself. He said, it's on the list. Either leave it here or you don't get on the plane. And so I would not have gotten on the plane, but the people that invited me had set up a banquet and things like that, and it would have been pretty awful if I hadn't shown up. But I just shown up. But I just don't travel commercially anymore, and now I just travel on the private plane. If people want to have me to give a talk, and it's a very costly proposition, I just will go by a private plane. I just won't deal with the TSA because I'm too old to go to jail, and I'm not as compliant as most of my fellow Americans.
From your book, Liberty versus the Tyranny.
I love it. I love it. Where did we lose this spirit along the way? It's not entirely gone. Walter Williams obviously has it. Why are we not all? I thought this was woven into our American DNA. I think this is the thing, you know, this is the embodiment of land of the free, home of the brave. You know, those brave enough and courageous enough to stand apart from herd think for themselves. And what Walter Williams is advocating is not, there's no conflict, there's no colliding of forces together in that. It's just, hey, live and let live and be virtuous in your public life, certainly. And, you know, again, this gets back to the discussion in Blackstone's commentaries. I mean, it's all out there in plain sight for us to see if we'll just look. You know, I've mentioned the, you know, from Blackstone's commentaries, you can do what you want in your private capacity, but be virtuous and moral in your public capacity. And everything's been, you know, everything private now is public. That's what social media is for. And no wonder we're offended at one another, because we're, if you believe the Bible, we're all sinful, fallen creatures anyway, wrestling with that struggle between the flesh and the spirit, so to speak, that Paul talks about in Romans 7. And if that's laid bare for all of us before everyone, then no wonder we're offensive to one another. We used to know better. We used to know that, what is it, you know, fish and company smell after 3 days or something is the old adage. And now social media is basically thrown in our faces constantly, and those kinds of indiscretions. So I think maybe we should roll the clock back a little bit on some of this behavior, including the things, you know, all of the social media is not fantastic, including the list of things that I mentioned, you know, the four in particular, Federal Reserve Act, maybe it was five, IRS, Social Security we could throw in there, like Walter Williams said. But if I say that, then I certainly would never get elected. People don't realize if we start to pare these things down, we'd actually be better off and we'd be more prosperous, but it's a longer discussion. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.